to say that, you know, I like to come down. That's just me. I like to come down. But I want to say that we were here this morning at the 8 o'clock service, and that was new for me. Around 8 o'clock, we just now waking sure the boys are up at that time. But it was a good experience, and I'm just again so thankful for the opportunity. In our scripture, I don't want to hold you long, but I want to go ahead and get into our text. I want to start out with a passage of scripture. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse number 11. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse number 11. This is a very familiar passage of scripture. But if you're there and you have it, say amen. Amen. And it reads, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to you and not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." I want to take from that passage and speak to you this morning from the subject of God's plan. God's plan. I'm going to ask if you would bow your heads with me. Our dear, kind, most righteous Heavenly Father, it is now that we come before thee, just thanking you for last night's laying down, this morning's arising. Father God, we realize that we are not here because we've been that good or because of some great deed that we've done. But we know it's because of your grace and your mercy that you've allowed us to gather this morning to worship thee in spirit and in truth. Father God, we just thank you for all those who have made it here safely, the Lord, and we ask your continued blessings upon those who may be still en route. We just ask the Lord that you would just help us as we endeavor to lift up your high and holy name, the Lord, that whatever may be going on in our personal lives, that we would cast those things aside and focus on serving you this morning. The Lord, we come asking that you would be with those in our number who are sick and those who are shut in. Be with those in our number who are just slowful and not concerned about your will also. Pray that you would be with them and prick them in their hearts, the Lord, that they may see where they stand with you, and that they may come to serve you as they did when they first obeyed the gospel. Father God, I come asking now that you would be with me as I stand before your people to proclaim your word. I ask that you would hide me behind the cross that men may see less of me and more of thee. And we'll be ever mindful to give you the glory and the praise that you so rightly deserve. I ask that at the end of the message, when the invitation song is extended, that some sinner, woman, man, boy, or girl may come asking the question, "What must I do to be saved?" Father God, just continue to be with us as we go throughout the service this morning. It's these prayers and blessings we do ask in your Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. God's plan. I want us to realize this morning that, especially to our young folks, we want you to know that God has a plan for you. He has a plan for you. Now, in order for that plan to work to this full effect, it's a matter of you falling in line with the plan that God has for you. Because whenever you decide not to go in line with God's plan, realize that his plan is going to get accomplished, but it'll be a whole lot rougher if you don't learn to fall in line with his plan. So we need to recognize this morning that every one of you, God has a plan for you. He has a specific route for you. He has something that he wants you to be concerning his kingdom, but God has something for you. And I want you to grab a hold of that this morning. And so what I want us to do is I want us to get an example of what we're talking about, because if we're going to follow along with God's plan, then what you don't want to do is deviate from the plan. And I want to help you because there are some things that we can do that can hinder us or that can distract us or that can get us off course. And so I want to help us out this morning so we can be aware of those things. What I want to look at is I want to look at the life of Joseph. So we're going to look at the account of Joseph, and we're going to pull some things out, and we'll jump here and there. But I think when we get done, it'll all make sense, all right? Yes, sir. Y'all with me?
Amen.
All right, so here we go. I want us to look in Genesis chapter 37, verses 3 through verse number 4. This pretty much will start out the situation concerning of Joseph. But now the text tells us in Genesis 37, beginning about verse 3, it says, "Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age. and he made him a coat of many colors. Verse 4 says, and when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him, and they could not speak peaceably unto him. Now, as we look at the account of Joseph, again, we want to point out some things that I believe that will be very beneficial to us. Now, the Bible lets us know that Israel, he had other sons, but then he had Joseph. Joseph was his son. He was the baby boy, and he had him at an older age. And so he was so grateful for the fact that being in my old age, he had a young man. And so because of that, he tended to show a little bit more favoritism towards his younger son, Joseph. And so one of the things that it says is that he gave him a coat of many colors. Now, that coat of many colors that he gave him, that indicated something. It indicated that was something that he had that the other boys didn't have. And so because of that, whenever he gave him that coat of many colors, that was something the other boys didn't have. And it showed that the father had loved him more because of that coat. Now, because of that, it says that his brothers, they hated him. They could not speak peaceably to him. I want us to realize something this morning, young people. It's important that you understand that what you wear, because what you wear can garner the wrong type of attention. It can garner the wrong type of look, the wrong type of attitude. Well, what are you saying? Can I give you some pictures? I would love to if I can get this thing to work. Yeah. There we go. All right. Young ladies, I want you to realize something. It's important that you be careful what you wear. Amen. Because you're going to get some attention. You're going to get some looks. But it's going to garner the wrong kind of look and the wrong kind of attention. See, when you dress like this, you won't get looked at as the young lady that you should be. The young lady, the smart young lady that you might be, the respectable young lady that you might be. When you dress like that, you don't get looked at as a lady, but you get looked at as an object. And that is the kind of attention that you don't want. It's the kind of attention that you don't need. So you got to be careful of what you wear and how you dress. But now this ain't just for our ladies, because our young men, amen. You too. You have to be careful of how you dress. Look, if you want to be looked at as respectable young men, if you want to get the right kind of respect, well, then it's all a matter of how you conduct yourself and what you wear. See, whenever you dress like this, you're going to get looks, but it ain't the right kind of look that you want. You're going to get attention, but it ain't the right kind of attention that you want. And so when you walk into a store and you get looked at a lot harder, people follow you around? Yeah, it's because of how you look. Now, you might not be in there to try to rob or do anything, but it's when you dress a certain way, you get the wrong type of look. You get the wrong kind of attention that you just don't want. Y'all, not only does that look bad, but that's just nasty. It's nasty. And I don't understand why he got a belt on. I don't get it. But listen, you got to realize that if you want to be looked at as respectable young men and women, you got to be careful of what you wear. Now, can I say this? Remember who gave him the coat. It was his father who gave him that coat. Can I say something to us parents? Amen. Because, see, a lot of these young folks in here don't have jobs. So that means if they're getting them kind of clothes, somebody buying it for them. So then what that means is, as parents, and I encourage all you parents to come back this evening, because I got a special message for you, okay? But however, I want you to think about this. If you are the ones who are buying this type of outfits, this type of clothing, you got to take better control of what you're buying your young folks. So if you want them to get looked at a better way, then you got to be careful of what you buy them. So when she come out trying on this dress, and you might tell her, hey, that's a cute dress, but go get the rest of it. because I can't buy that dress for you. Or to our young men, if you buy any of them pants and they come out with them pants like that, tell them, well, those pants, they nice pants, but they too big. Let's get something fit you better than that. You have control over that. So if you want the best kind of look for your children, if you want them to get looked at more in a respectable way, well, then you got to be careful of what you buy or what you give your children. But then also, I want you to notice something, too. To our young people, you can't have everything that other you see other people with. Everything is not for you. Joseph's father made that for him. The other boys didn't have that. So now, because they didn't have that, they hated him. They could not speak peaceably unto him. Y'all listen, young people, you'll do yourself a much good justice if you realize that you cannot have everything that you see other people with. So when you see people with stuff that you don't have, don't hate. Don't hate. Learn to appreciate what you do have. See, these other kids may be in a situation that they may have parents where their parents can afford to buy them the latest clothes or the latest shoes or whatever it may be. Maybe you're in a situation where your parents can't afford that. And so you can't get mad looking at other people and hating them for what they got because you don't have it. And listen, you're going to do yourself so much injustice because you're not going to be able to appreciate what you got because you're always looking at somebody else. Be thankful for what you do have. Everything ain't for you. Listen, I got a little girl, 6 years old. And we can go to the store. We can go buy her stuff. And we can get her a lot of stuff. Well, I know two other young men that I live in a house with, and I'm not going to tell you who they are, so don't ask me. But there's two other young men that live in that house. And then I remember they were at a point where they used to get upset because we would come home with some stuff for her. And they would be like, well, how come we didn't get no shoes or we didn't get no new shirt or whatever? Look, it's as simple as this. See, I can go to Walmart and get her some $5 shoes. She's going to be happy with it. I can't do that for you. You ain't going to want that. So whenever you see her getting some, understand that we can afford that, but we can't afford to go buy you new pants and new shoes and all that. So you just got to be thankful for what you do have. Amen. Now, again, I'm not going to tell you who those two men are, so don't ask me, okay? But listen, everything is not for you. And if you don't understand that, if you don't grasp that, y'all, you will spend your life not being satisfied for what you do have. And you're going to miss the blessings in your life because you're so busy looking at other folks, wanting what other people have that is not for you. But then I want you to realize something else as we move on with our text, because we realize something else. Joseph also had the ability to dream. God gave him these dreams, but Joseph had the ability to interpret dreams as well. But now watch this. Joseph went about and he began to share his dreams with his brethren. The Bible says, beginning around verse 5 of our text, it says, Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright, while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it. Verse 8 says, his brother said to him, do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us? Notice this. And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. Young people, if I can point this out to you. Don't be afraid to dream. Don't be afraid to share your dreams. Don't be afraid to follow your dreams. But recognize this. You got to beware of dream killers. Don't be afraid to dream. Don't be afraid to share your dream. Don't be afraid to follow your dreams, but know that there are dream killers that are out there. What are you saying? What I'm saying is there are people out there who you tell them your dreams that you want to be this, or you have a dream to become something in life. And they know your potential. But what they're going to do is they're going to try to kill your dreams. Because they can look at you and they can tell that you got the potential to be what you said you want to be. But now, because they are dream killers, what they want to do is try to poison your mind and say, oh, that idea, that's just crazy. That's stupid. That'll never work. You're going to have dream killers out there. But listen to this, though. Dream killers, there's a saying that says that misery loves company. Misery loves company. So what happens is you're going to run across people that they have no hope. They have no dreams. They have no ambition. They have no goals. They are scared of the challenges that come with following those dreams. Or either they have given in to the negativity. So at one point, they had wanted to be something in life too. But somebody told them that you'll never be able to do this or be able to do that. And so what they did is they bought into that negativity. And because they bought into it, they did not follow their dreams. Or maybe you have those who, due to a series of bad choices that they made through their life. So they may have a dream to grow up and be this. But because they made a series of bad choices, it affected them and their ability to be able to fulfill that dream. And so because they were not able to fulfill that dream, they don't want to see you doing better than them. Amen. Yeah. So they become bitter because of what has happened in their life. And because they're bitter and they don't want to see you do better than them, they're going to try to kill your hopes and your dreams too. So you have to be aware of dream killers because they are out there. Now, I want you to realize something. Dream big. Set goals. Because see, if you don't have a goal, a dream is just a dream if you don't have no goals. So you have goals, but then also you need to take action with that. Listen to me, it's like this, y'all. Young people, if you have the mindset right now that you want to grow up and you want to be this and you want to be that, that is fine. Don't be afraid to follow that dream. But now, listen to this, though. You got to know yourself. You got to know yourself. Don't tell me you want to be a professional athlete when you don't want to go to practice. Yeah, you got to know yourself. Don't tell me you want to be an engineer and you don't like math. See, you got to know who you are. Look, don't tell me you want to be a president. Well, they'll let anybody be president now, so. But you got to know yourself. And so if you want to accomplish these dreams in life, know who you are. So that you can successfully follow your dreams. Dream, share your dreams, but don't be afraid to follow your dreams. But now as we fast forward, because we know that because of his dreams, his brothers hated him and they wanted to try to kill him, but they decided that they wouldn't do it. They would go ahead and sell him into slavery. Now at this point, he's been sold into slavery. He's been bought by Potiphar. Potiphar, a captain of the guard and under Pharaoh's command. And so he buys him, and so he's brought into Pharaoh's house. And as he's brought into Pharaoh's house as a slave, Potiphar began to notice how whatever Joseph did, how the Lord was blessing him. And so all that, he went from being a slave to being in charge of his house. So because he saw how God was blessing him. And so now as he sees how God is blessing him, and because he's in charge of his house, not only did Potiphar see how God was working, but then there was somebody else in the house who also took notice of Joseph as well. Now, when we fast forward now in our text in Genesis chapter 39, beginning around verse number 6, the Bible says, so Potiphar left everything he had in Joseph's care. With Joseph in charge, he did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. Now Joseph, watch this, was well-built and handsome. And after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, come to bed with me. But he refused. He said, with me in charge, he told her, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns has he entrusted to my care. I'm having so many problems with that. Okay. He is not greater in this house than I am, nor has he kept back anything from me except you. Because you are his wife, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And as she spoke to Joseph day after day, he would not listen to her to lie beside her or to be with her. Now, here we are. I want y'all to listen to me, and listen to me good here. The Bible tells us that Joseph was well-built and he was handsome. Do we have any young men in here that's well-built and handsome? So we got what, four? Four well-built and handsome young men in here? That's it? That's it? Okay, well, we'll roll with them four then. If you know that you are a young man, well-built and handsome, I want you to think about something. Joseph understands your situation, because with him being young, well-built, and handsome, there was somebody who took interest in Joseph. Now, it was the wrong type of person who took interest in him. Why? Because this woman belonged to somebody else. But now, I want y'all to think about something. Joseph, even though Potiphar's wife came and she was throwing herself on him, the thing about Joseph is he's refused to lie with her. He refused to have anything to do with her. Why? Because Joseph knew who he was. Joseph knew that he was a trustworthy young man. He knew that he was a responsible young man. He knew that he was a leader. He knew that he was a blessed young man. And most of all, he knew that he belonged to God. What are you saying? I'm saying that when you know that you are young, well-built, and handsome, you must know who you are. Most of all, you must know that you are a child of God. And when you know who you are, then you won't fall victim to everything that comes your way. When you know who you are. So then, therefore, whenever you have these young ladies or other people who come into your life who try to push up on you, and whenever they come and get into your life and when they asking you to do stuff that you know is not right, you can respond in a better way when you know who you are, when you know who you belong to, when you know that you've been taught better, you know that God has a plan for you, you know that you belong to God, and so therefore I can't do any and everything that somebody's encouraging me to do. Because there are some young women out there, some fast young women, who will say all the right stuff, tell you you handsome, you fine. Yeah, they'll tell you all that. She might be from the country, tell you strong. You got a lot of muscles. You strong. Yeah, telling you all that to tell you everything, to pump your head up, making you think you something. And not knowing they're telling you all this to take advantage of you, get everything they can from you, and move on to the next. But you can't fall victim to that when you know who you are. Now, that's our young men, young ladies. Are there any young ladies in here that know that they pretty young ladies? Oh, boy, y'all concern me. Concern me. Okay. Again, the same thing holds true. You got to know who you are. Listen, I'm going to tell y'all like this. I told you before, and I've said it many times, I got a six-year-old daughter. One of the things that I do with her all the time is I let her know, I call her pretty girl. That's what I call her. That's her nickname. Call her pretty girl. And I tell her that she's beautiful. I want her to know that she's beautiful. And you know why I want her to know that? I want her to know that so that when some knucklehead come later on down the road trying to spit game at her, girl, your feet must have been tired. Oh, why you say that? Because you've been running in my mind all day long. See, when he come trying to throw them old corny lines at her, and when he try to tell her, girl, you fine and all that, she ain't gonna fall victim for that. Why? Because she already knows she's beautiful. So he gonna have to come with something better than that. See, when you know who you are, then you don't fall victim to that. So when this joker come later on down the road, young ladies, and he telling you over the phone, hey, listen, why don't you send me a picture of what you got on? And you send him that picture, fully dressed. Oh, that's a good outfit. But send me another picture with a little less on. Oh, that's act like it don't happen, y'all. Come on now.
Amen.
It happens.
Amen.
But now here's the thing. When you know who you are and when you know who you belong to, then you know how to nip all that right away. And you let him or you let her know, I can't do this. Because I know who I belong to. I know I've been taught better than that. You got to know who you are so you don't fall short of what God has in store for you. Know who you are. Joseph knew who he was. Now, something else I want you to consider about this text also. Notice I got some things underlined. It says that I got the word do. I got the word sin against God. I got listen and I got or to be with her underlined. Why do I have that underlined? I have that underlined, first of all, he says sin against God. I got that underlined because Joseph, first of all, he considered God in everything that he did. Young people, if you want to be well in life, you got to consider God in everything. So Joseph understood that there were some things that I cannot do because I consider God. Young people, realize something. There are some things that you just should not be doing. And you know this whenever you consider God. When I have God in the forefront of my mind, then I know that there are certain things that I cannot do. But notice this too. Not also did he consider God and realize that there were some things that he should not do, but there was also things that he should not listen to as well. Young people, listen. There are some things that you should not be listening to. Because realize something. The music and things that you hear has a way of influencing your train of thought. But when you consider God, then you're careful to make sure that what you listen to, you got to. Y'all listen, there are all kinds of songs that we hear on the radio that ain't always the best kind of songs. There are some messages in the songs that ain't no good message at all. Y'all, come on, y'all. We got people like SZA in the world. Yo man is my man, heard he's your man too. You take them Monday through Thursday. I'll keep them satisfied on the weekend. What is she talking about? Yo, come on. There's messages in the song. But these are the songs that you don't need to hear. Because it sends the wrong message. Now, hold on, because we got some adults saying amen. But now recognize, I don't mean to be too hard on our young folks because we were once there. And we understand that there was music in our generation that we shouldn't have been listening to either. Yeah, I grew up in a generation that R. Kelly was big for me. This is before I knew about all the other stuff, y'all. But R. Kelly then, that was my wheelhouse. My mind's telling me no. Yeah, that was in my wheelhouse. And for some of us, we can go back further. Yep. Teddy Pendergrass, turn off the lights. Isley Brothers, Between the Sheets. Come on now, we know. But there were certain things that we realized that were not beneficial to us. But there are certain things that we cannot listen to when we consider God. But then also he said, or to be with her. Y'all, there's a certain things that you shouldn't be around. But when you consider God, you're careful not to be around those things. Certain places that I shouldn't be whenever I consider who God is. Now, as we begin to wrap this thing up, bring it to a close, if we went on with the story lets us know that because Joseph refused to lie with her, that what she ended up doing was lying on Joseph. And Joseph was placed into prison. And while he's in prison, again, God has showed his favor on Joseph. And so he moves from being an inmate to being in charge of those who are in the prison. And so whenever he does this, he also encounters some people in the dream. He encounters this the butler and the baker while they were in prison. And they had some dreams, and what Joseph did is he interpreted those dreams. Well, the butler was able to be released from prison. And he told him, Joseph told that butler that when you get out, remember me. But the Bible tells us that their butler forgot all about Joseph. And it wasn't until that butler was in Pharaoh's house. And Pharaoh had a dream that he could not understand, and he had been calling people in to try to interpret that dream. And so when it was got to the point whenever he heard that dream and he remembered, then Joseph, that there was somebody in prison who had the ability to interpret dreams. And so then they called for Joseph to come into the house. And he began to interpret Pharaoh's dream. And now whenever he interpreted Pharaoh's dream, well, then Pharaoh took him under his wing. And so now as we fast forward now, it tells us like this in our text. In Genesis 41, beginning around verse 39, it says, "Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, 'Since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. You shall be in charge of my palace, and my people are to submit to your order. Only with respect to the throne will there be greater than I will be greater than you.' So Pharaoh said to Joseph, 'I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt.' Then Pharaoh took his signet ring from his finger and put it under Joseph's finger, and he dressed him in robes of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. And he had him ride in a chariot as his second in command. And men shouted before him, 'Make way.' Thus he put him in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, 'I am Pharaoh, but without your word, no one will lift hand or foot in all Egypt.'" Y'all, what am I saying here as we close this thing out? I want you to realize something, that if you stick with God, God stick with you. You stick with God, God will stick with you. Joseph made up in his mind early that he was going to stick with God. And no matter what Joseph encountered, he stayed with God. And God stayed with him. Y'all, listen to me. Life is like a roller coaster. In this life, you're going to have, when you think about a roller coaster, the roller coaster has its ups and it has its downs. It has its twists, it has its turns, it has its loops. And when you think about being on a roller coaster, as you start out, everybody's excited. But then often when it gets to the top, as it's getting its way up to the top, it'll drop. And sometimes as you go throughout this life and it's on a roller coaster, people will scream, throw their hands up. But y'all, listen, a life is a lot like that. In other words, when our life begins, it's like a roller coaster. So we start out this journey in life, and we're excited about it. But then also, we have our ups, but then we have our downs. And in this life, we're going to have our twists and our turns and our loops, and we ain't going to know what to do but throw our hands up and scream. But realize that eventually, just like a roller coaster, it's going to come to an end. And you just want to make sure that at the end of your journey, you can look back through all your ups and downs, twists and turns, through all your loops, and recognize that I stayed with God through all of it. Amen. And because I stayed with God, he stayed with me. Y'all, listen, when we look at Joseph, understand his ups and his downs. Joseph was a favorite of his father, but he was hated by his brothers. He was sold into slavery, but became in charge of his master's house. Do you see the ups and downs? But then also, he was put in prison, but then he became in charge of the prisoners. He was forgot about, but then he was remembered. He went from being an inmate to second in command over all of Egypt. Y'all, listen, that is God's plan. God's plan for Joseph. Young people, if you don't get nothing else out of this message, I want you to think about this. God had a plan for Joseph. It wasn't always a smooth ride for Joseph. But regardless of what he went through, he stayed with God. God saw him through all of his ups and downs. And he brought him being where he wanted him to be. Placed him in a position where he needed to be. Young people, you need to realize something. That as you go along this journey in life, y'all, I don't know your home situation. I don't know what you're going through at home. So your situation might be different from a lot of other people. You might be going right now, while some people in their life might be having their ups, you might be going through your downs right now. But I'm encouraging you, no matter what you go through, stick with God. Amen. Stick with him. You stick with him, he will stick with you. His plan will be fulfilled in your life. And when you get where you want to be, you can look back and say, thank you, God, for getting me where you got me. I could not have made it without you. Stick with him. You got to beware as you go throughout this life. Certain things that you should not wear, certain places you should not be, certain things you should not do. Have your dream. Don't be afraid to follow your dreams, but beware of those who want to try to kill your dreams. Place your hand in God's hand and you keep going forward. God will bless you every step of the way. But now, as we close it out now, if you're here this morning and you're not yet a member of the body of Christ, if you have yet to establish a relationship with him, well, then our plea is that you do so before it's too late. What you do is you've heard the word, believe in that in what you've heard. Then recognize where you stand. And you realize that the way I've been living now is not right in the sight of God. Maybe you've been living your life to please yourself and doing your own thing, but you recognize that it's not right. So you have a change in mind that leads to a change of direction. No longer do you live to please yourself, but you want to please him. So that was called repent. You repent of your sins. But then we would ask you to come forward, and all we'll do is ask you a question. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Based on your confession, we'll take you, prepare you for baptism. You go down that watery graves of baptism, you rise a new creature in Christ Jesus. Now you have a relationship with him, and all we ask is that you stay close to him, remain faithful unto death. And I have no doubt you can hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But maybe you're here, you already done those things, and maybe you realize that you've been going through different things in your life and it's taking your eyes off of him. And so now you need to get that back right. Maybe you need to confess sin, maybe you need prayers for strength. We'll pray for you. But we just bid you to come together, and we ask you to stand and make that known as together we stand and sing the song of invitation.
Thank you, sir. Cool. We will sing Because He Lives, and that is found on page 543. God sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. Is there to prove my Savior lives? Because he lives,
I'll turn it over to you.
I can face tomorrow.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Because he lives. All fear is gone because he holds a future and life is worth the